What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. It is October 16th, 2021. It is a Saturday, and we're here to review AEW Dynamite, a really good show. It wasn't the only show today. We had Grapsody today, kicked all kinds of ass. Last night, we had a Rampage and SmackDown review that covered some head-to-head, but we're here to talk about Dynamite. We also dropped an interview with Juice Robinson of New Japan, who does not do a lot of interviews and does not have social media. So listen to him scream about why he doesn't have social media, talking about how he doesn't need to promote that he eats a ham sandwich and goes to the gym. It made an awful lot of sense, actually. But Alex Palowski is joining us, and you know, I can segue from New Japan interview with Juice Robinson there into the fact that a personal favorite of yours, old Buddy Murphy, heading to New Japan, Alex.
I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do in that kind of setting, because that guy can lay it in thick and stiff, and I can't wait to see what he can do with guys who are like, yeah, absolutely, hit me as hard as you can. And Buddy Murphy, Bud Matt, now going, okay, bet. And then just rocking some shit.
If there's anything we like, it's people who can lay it in thick and stiff.
It's true.
Kind of like this beautiful podcast frame we have. Robert DeFelice has the night off. He'll be back. Don't worry. We didn't kill him off or anything like that. Leave a thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube.com/Fightful. I have a ton of interviews dropping over the next week. Juice Robinson yesterday. I've got Filthy Tom Lawler next week. I got a couple more. Once they get in the can, I'll tell you what they are. But I got Marina Shafir, former NXT star, former MMA four horsewoman, ahead of Bloodsport. Got some Bound for Glory interviews. So keep it locked. Check it out. Thumbs up. Subscribe. But if you want your question or statement read on the air here, donate a super chat. I'll get your question or statement read on the air. Alex, it's been a while since just you and I did a show together.
Right? Yeah, we got the old tag team back together.
No.
They broke us up for no reason a couple of years ago.
Yes.
But at least we were able to remain friendly. They didn't have me like turn on you by stabbing you in the back or anything.
Little does everybody know that Robert DeFelice is about to pop up. He's got his own entrance. He's the Adam Cole. He's about to pop up. Oh, man. We got Mario Morales says, have a good show. I'll be watching Dynamite after the Dodger game. Well, hey, I hope the Dodgers lose terribly because they are not the Cincinnati Reds. But my God, guys, get in those super chats. We got plenty to talk about. And let's start off with Malakai Black and Dante Martin. Boy, so first out of the gate, I got to say the scissor sweep was a little scary for me. But there are a lot of high flyers that get a bad rap based on their pace and their style for not selling. Dante Martin, ain't that, Alex? He was selling that leg, doing one-legged springboards. He's still got to use the high-flying offense because that's what he's got. What's he going to do? Strike with Malakai Black? Good luck, pal. Good. Yeah, we're going to try that one. This match was everything it needed to be. I truly wish Malakai Black didn't hate me because his body of work in AEW has been phenomenal. It has been so good. It's a lot like Miro. He is who we thought he was, Alex.
Yeah, he's everything that I wanted him to be. In on the main roster, at least. Like, I thought it was a kind of a cool, like, dark babyface run in NXT, but I thought they could have just brought him up and immediately made him into this absolutely otherworldly figure of doom or something. I just thought, like, hey, you're gonna dip into the whole well that you've created with the Undertaker for so long. They never really did that with him, and this just feels right. I loved the match. I thought the match was, what a great story being told during it. I loved the finish. And we'll talk, I'm sure, about the post-match moment. But like the match itself, what, as you said, Dante needed to sell the entire time for the match story to work, and he did. That's like, not only is it usually high flyers forget to do that kind of stuff because they need to be able to use their legs to do all of their moves, so they forget to like, oh, I should be injured while doing this, because how would you actually do the move if you're injured? Well, that's the point. Dante couldn't do his stuff because his leg was injured, and he played that part. And if he doesn't play the part that way, the match doesn't work because that's how it's got to be told. And I loved it.
And you might not know it by watching tonight's UFC card, but most fights are fast paced. Like, you don't have time to sell, so to speak. And right. I like implementing that into things. Oscar Villanueva says, would love Dante to join the House of Black and become Malachi's protege. Oh, buddy, I like what he's headed for right now, because when he loses, after all that great work that we saw, and this is such a good match. And Alex, this is where AEW stands out above so many others. You see Dante Martin, you see Lee Moriarty, you see Daniel Garcia. I wouldn't put Wheeler Yuta in there tonight among these guys where, but usually these guys are getting over by losing because you know bigger things are happening for them. 2.0 as well. You know bigger things are going to happen for them. You saw it happen with Red Velvet. She emerged, she came out the other side a lot better. And after this match, it's just a little subtle. Well, it wasn't subtle. It wasn't subtle at all. Malachi Black nodded at him, but it is a little thing. He showed that respect, and that carries something with the way that Malachi Black is booked. And I say it's a little thing, but it's not subtle because commentary mentioned it, and you do that. You do that. Leo Rush, on the other hand, is looking on disappointed. He's like, nah, you can do better. I loved this post-match. I thought this was excellent.
The finish of him trying to do, like you said, like a one-legged springboard off the top rope and just like getting off and go like, I can't do anything off of this. I'm just going to try and land and do something. And Black selling the ribs for moving, you know, away from him. And Dante just keep, like, not realizing he can snap off that kick. Like that. Like, he doesn't need any windup to do it. And he got kicked full on in the temple.
Yeah.
And went down. And I love the moment of Black going and just waiting for it and walking over to him and pinning him. Because the guy was knocked out. Like, that was it. But it was that moment of like, this little bastard almost got me.
It was the Brett to 1-2-3 Kid when 1-2-3 Kid hit him with the arm drag.
Yeah.
And Brett just looks off. It's like, okay. I love it. And this Malachi Black was always capable of that.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
No, Malachi Black, we talked about this a little bit. Like, Malachi Black is selling an eye injury he got a year and a half ago in a different company. Like he's decided my entire career is one long through line and I'm going to play all of those chapters.
And that seems to be the case with much of AEW. I don't know if that's a concentrated effort on their part or Tony's part.
Right.
By the way, I'm trying to nail down an interview with Tony ahead of Full Gear. We'll see how that goes. Yeah. But like, that's something I want to ask him. Like, it seems like, I mean, quite frankly, they followed up on it more than WWE did.
Right.
By
the best thing about, speaking of following up, the best thing about that little nod is it might be nothing except Malachi Black putting over the Kid in a loss. Or it might lead to something really important a few months down the road. And the thing about it is, I trust AEW completely to figure out which of those two things it is and then play it right down every note perfectly.
Really, really like that. Cliff Beard says, put Damo in the House of Black, please. I don't know. I kind of want to see how his work is outside of WWE and see like what kind of fit there is there. But later on, Leo Rush is with Dante, and he's like, you got a new tag team partner. It's me.
That's not going to make Darius all that happy about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Darius, who's been sitting at home while his brother has been getting praised, but losing all the time. There's so many moving parts here. And you guys may have heard me mention this in some of my interviews in the past, but when I first met or spoke to Leo Rush, I was reporting on the heat he had, and I was reaching out to him. Things weren't swell between us. The way this guy has grown from interpersonal communication over the last year and a half, and the way that people talk about him backstage, again, he is what everybody like wanted him to be. Now, that being said, a lot of the reasons that he had heat in WWE were absolute bullshit. Some of them were understandable, but some of them were absolute bullshit. But this guy, when I would ask veterans, I'm like, oh, so what's the deal with Leo Rush? And somebody, a respected veteran, said to me, He is exactly as good as he thinks he is. He knows how good he is. And it's difficult sometimes to give somebody advice when they are exactly as good as they say they are and they believe they are at talking, at wrestling, at cutting promos, at managing. So it seems like he has matured an awful lot. And also, I had people telling me, like, well, when you're brought up the way that he was and the place that he was, constructive criticism doesn't always come across as constructive criticism. It seems like that's different now. I talk to people in New Japan Strong who say that he is nothing short of wonderful to deal with. Heard he's doing great everywhere. I am so glad that he did not hang it up for good. He is too talented to not have something like this. And I'm really excited to see it.
Yeah. I've always loved Lio Rush. Like he's too fast. He's too fast to be a human being. Like, yes. Just the way he, like, it's so crazy to me. And so I can't wait to see how much they let him do, how much he wants to do as a wrestler. But I think that there's a wonderful story already being told here. Just in the look on Lio Rush's face as Dante crumpled the canvas after that kick, like, you've got to be kidding me.
Tom Lawler told me in an interview we just filmed that the only person he's seen move like that is Rey Mysterio. And that's the person I've been comparing Lio to since I saw him in 2017 in his NXT debut match. And he did a certain cut when he changed directions. And I was like, how is that humanly possible? Yeah. How does he have a meniscus after that? He's spectacular. I can't wait to see what he does. Joey Bag of Donuts says, I always learn something on these shows. Great job. Hey, that's what I hope sets us apart. We have a lot of connections to give you guys exclusive news on these. So we've got a backstage segment with Serena Deeb. And the highlight of it, beyond that, is CM Punk saying that Serena had a fantastic head of hair, Eloquent says. That is such a great spot.
It feels like they could have him say, you know, Serena and I have history. We years ago we were blah blah yes. blah, but they've decided we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But instead, Punk just slides that in because he's going to be damned if he doesn't get some reference to it in there.
I think that would be a great, like, mixed tag, her and Punk against Cole and Britt in the future. Oh, sure. If Britt can't promo AJ Lee the fuck out of WOW, which no. I hope she does.
I mean, AJ Lee's conscience should promo her the fuck out of WOW.
It did for Denise. There you go. There you go. Denise said on our Wednesday show, I passed up working at WOW. Thunder Rosa heard about it and immediately hired her for Mission Pro Wrestling. So it worked out for her very well. Dr. Six Fingers Esquire says, Lio said his mental health is in a better spot in the last few years, and it shows. Everyone deserves a healthy brain. Happy weekend, y'all. Yep. I talked to a promoter who actually mentioned that as well. They're like, AEW is a really good spot for him because if the guy needs to take a couple months off, they're going to let him take a couple months off. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty incredible. Kari Fly, I'm making sure I pronounce her name right, says, I faked sleep so my kid would nap and fell asleep for real. I have no idea what happened tonight, but here I am, $5 for sleepless wrestling moms. Oh, man. Fantastic. So Hikaru Shida attacked Serena Deeb. Excited, just excited for anything to continue with them. I like them.
You knew they were going to play this off into something further down the line. Listen, more non-title feuds between fantastic women's wrestlers across the board, AEW, WWE, everywhere. But these two, yeah, let's just say best of five right now, and spice it out. Like, I mean, like they're gonna do a series of them. Let's make it a reason to do it. Like, you have to beat her 2 out of 3 or whatever it is.
Yeah. Zach Schimmel, longtime supporter, dropping a big $50 super chat. Thank you all so much for that. Thank you so much for that, Zach. He says, this is for seeing a team I've not seen in years. This time, though, Alex is happy about wrestling. Subscribe for Sour Graps. Yeah, subscribe to Fightful Select for Sour Graps. Also, over on Fightful Select, I dropped some contract news, a contract offer made to somebody who has had looks from AEW, WWE, ROH, Impact, and NWA. Got multiple contract offers, and that ain't all the contract news I got coming up from like every company coming up soon. But to finish up his super chat, he said,
"This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SRS had this thought yesterday, and longtime supporters will know. Does your quality of life still confuse people? Oh man, that's a promo I cut on Melissa a few years ago when I was basically strong-arming Jimmy into giving me a raise because I couldn't afford good clothes for my promo. I'm doing all right now. I'll say that much. But yes, it would still confuse people. But thank you for that. Check out the Fightful mixtape on Fightful Scraps because that is on there, along with Alex's Sour Graps Back in Black mashup that exists as well. Inner Circle got back together, popped back up. And you had Santana leading the promo, which I was so happy about, especially considering the geographic location. Daniel R. says, "I really want LAX to go on their own. The best." And the Bean kicked in, says, "AEW is fun. Still watching the show, but man, AEW makes me feel so rewarded. Surprisingly, top team is nuclear." I didn't think they were. Boy, that's their neck of the woods. Almost everybody in that venue probably knows who American Top Team is out there. That is their neck of the woods. MMA is huge out there. I really think the Inner Circle should have split up at Double or Nothing, Alex. Like, I don't need them together anymore.
Well, here's the deal. If they had split up at Double or Nothing, then the reunification now would mean something, as opposed to we were too lazy to fly them all out here for every segment they did. Like, you have a big faction.
Yep.
You could break them apart. Like, this is a weird thing. Like, it's so, this whole segment, man, I just want to see, can I just watch Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky versus Proud and Powerful? Can I just watch that match? Can we get rid of all the other crap and just do that? Or Ethan Page or Scorpio Sky versus Sammy Guevara for the TNT Championship. Can we do that? I don't need anybody else involved in this because I do not like any of them. I just want to see Ethan Page, who I still think is like has one of the brightest futures in anybody in AEW. I think he's amazing.
Two top AEW talent said he should be a singles guy from the jump. And that ain't taking anything away from Scorpio Sky.
No. Scorpio Sky also might be a singles guy, you know, down the road as well. Like, it's permanently. But I love the way they play off each other. I think they can be best friends who both do single stuff and then occasionally tag together. They can do that.
AEW is, yeah.
But they can do that. That's fine. I love Santana Ortiz, and I really like Sammy. But I despise the Inner Circle. Like, that will tell you how I feel about the other members of the Inner Circle.
Yes. I'm with you there. I don't need the Inner Circle together anymore. I haven't needed it since Double or Nothing. They've barely been together. Sorry, that's a super chat for another time. But Ryan Sullivan says, I thought it was in Alex's contract that anyone he works for has to have bangs. Buddy, I got the best bangs of all time, and so can you when you use BlueChew.com code Fightful. That's a free one for you, Blue Chew. Aaron H. says, props to the goat of Fightful, Alex, though Righteous Reg and his love of Bush's baked beans is a close second.
Yeah.
Is it Bush's baked beans or Boston baked beans?
Well, that was the joke. That he said Boston baked beans. Everyone thought he meant a can of baked beans.
Yes. I was going to say, categorically different, those two. So, yeah, obviously they're setting up to continue the Inner Circle deal. All right. Okay.
Like, I'm legitimately interested in what Paige VanSant can do in pro wrestling. But so far, all it is make throat slitting gestures and point at people. And then honestly, what I did love, I love that when people distract somebody by literally saying, I'm distracting you. Like, she got up on the apron during Rampage and said, I'm getting up on the air. I'm going to come in there. If you don't stop me, I'm going to come into that ring. And they had to stop her because she said it.
It's so elementary. Cliff Beard says, I love the crowds booing the hell out of Lambert so much. It's hard to hear what he's saying. Alex, what does Tony D think of Jericho?
Listen, this guy, Chris Jericho, where the hell is he from? Winnipeg? What the hell is that? Like Antarctica? Forget about it. Like, this guy, he can go home. But I do like the Proud and Powerful, because I myself, Tony D, am proud and powerful.
Every single show, I forget that you are a trained actor. Every single show. Well, we got a title change on this show. The AAA Tag Team Champions are now held by Los Superranas, Alex. This is so okay. So it was a surprise masked team, and there were some people that didn't like that CM Punk brought up that he knew it was FTR. I loved that he brought up that he knew it was FTR because, duh. I love that he's just like, guys, this is obviously FTR, right?
Yeah.
I thought this is great.
No, it's fantastic because CM Punk doesn't have to play by some weird arbitrary rules. The commentators are stupid. Who, Mace and T-Bar, who are they? We've never seen them before. No, these guys are off. They have the same like body types, the way they move. No, that's FTR. And the thing about it is, if they kept the masks on for the entire match and the ruse was supposed to continue forward into multiple episodes, then I could be okay with like you being upset that CM Punk spoiled the surprise. But the whole point was they were going to get unmasked like Scooby-Doo villains during the match and go like, if it wasn't for you meddling kids, we would have gotten away with it.
They are the Scooby-Doo villains of AEW for sure too. Cause they hate the flips. They hate the fun. They don't like all that stuff. They are the crotchety old men.
I love that Punk's final exhibit when he was presenting to the judge, who was JR, presenting to the judge, this is why I think they're FTR. Well, look at them. They haven't done a single flip yet. Yes. And then JR was like, oh, you're right.
Meanwhile, Cash Wheeler can do a smooth 450. Springboard 450.
Yeah, no problem.
Cliff Beard says the most anti-Lucha team are now AAA champs. I love it. They are, if they go to Mexico,
oh my God,
they are going to be so over by doing everything else. Like, I want them to catch a springboard moonsault in midair with a punch. That's what I want. Oscar Villanueva says FTR defending the AAA tag titles in Arena de Mex. I love it. And this also leads them. FTR is going to be like, well, why don't we get a shot at the other titles? Like, why is that not happening now? Their gimmick is almost like that they've perpetually got a chip on their shoulder, no matter what. Like, they always feel like they're not getting their just due.
Right.
And this is a great way to further that.
Well, FTR believe they are legitimately the greatest tag team that has ever lived. And if they are ranked second, well, then they can't be the best tag team in the world. And that's a slight on us. And I love that they not like the match was basically Phoenix in particular, but Phoenix and Penta just running roughshod over them. But all you got to do is give old Dax a title belt and let him go to work one shot during a moonsault, which was perfectly placed. Like the moonsault where he just hit him as he was going by. That was amazing. Get rid of the title belt. 1, 2, 3. And now, as I said, like the triple A, I can't wait to see them go. Like if they have to like cut a promo, like, well, thank you, everybody. Here we are. Grassy ass, poor De Nada. Like just them. Like basically trying really hard to be respectful, but being really bad at Spanish.
Yeah. Oh, man. Sawyer says, love everything about FTR having the very ugly AAA tag titles, best luchadors in the world. Oh, I can't wait for them to do a Lucha Rules match. So we also had Britt Baker backstage with Anna Jay, and she just trashes Anna Jay. I love that as soon as Anna Jay threw a punch, Britt didn't like fall down and look up at her like, No, she swung and she was slugging it out. Now, originally I was like, oh, well, Anna Jay just lost to Penelope. Why are they setting this up? Well, they're setting it up for Rampage. And Chris says, do you know if Britt and Anna Jay will be from the Jericho Cruise? I think they're filming that tonight. I mean, I would assume they would tonight because they don't go back. Like Orlando isn't a 2-night thing.
No,
next week. It's just the 23rd. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to film Rampage tonight for next week. So, yeah, I think it'll be tonight because she will be on the cruise. Kari Fly says, LMAO TK puts masks on people like we're Stevie Wonder. Oh, man.
I like the Anna Jay thing because everyone loves Anna Jay. And this isn't like she's ranked number one in the contendership. She just got into a brawl with Britt. And now we get to see Anna Jay versus Britt. She can show what she can do. She's going to lose the match, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Good.
I've been sent a shirt or a picture of a shirt that FTR have called Fear the Rest Hold, which I love. Also, Brent Lockman says, did not expect to see FTR cosplaying as the Green Bastard for Trailer Park Boys. Loved it, though. And ShotKid29 says, another great show. Feels like some big turns are close. Punk's commentary may have been the highlight, especially no selling the luchadors. Like, we've heard Punk on commentary a few times so far. Tonight, I thought, was by far his best showing. By far. Yeah. Like, he's settling back into that groove and AEW getting more of their money's worth. Like, you have Punk on the show without having him on the show.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that you can kick off most episodes with his music playing and the crowd going absolutely apeshit for him. And then he goes and he just walks over to this thing and sits down. And then we at home get to enjoy him. Most of what I enjoy is the fact that he's not screeching in my ear like other people who do commentary.
Yes. To me, if I'm AEW, I find a way throughout a taping to get Judas to play, to get Punk's music to play, Jungle Boy's music to play, and Orange Cassidy's music to play. You use the ones that you paid for, effectively. And plus, it's a live experience. Like, even if it's not on the show, send them home happy with something, et cetera, et cetera. MJF and Andrade are backstage, and they have a little bit of an interaction. What do you think of this?
I love the super frogs running away, and then MJF hugging him because he's genuinely happy for his stable mates. And then he's like, and the obvious thing being like that, because I saw a lot of people online going, they're going to have to explain this. I don't understand. Why are FTR working with Andrade? That doesn't make any sense. Well, I think they mentioned that they know each other from a different place that they worked, and they are friends. But also, I love that Andrade hates the Lucha Bros so much that he paid MJF to get him to allow him to use FTR, which apparently are clients of MJF, which I liked.
Yes.
And that was it. And him, MJF spelling it out. Okay, that's for one night only. Great. Thank you. I'd like to be paid in cash and by check. Thank you very much. Gracias. And I'll be leaving. I thought this is wonderful.
Really dug this. Turned it around, made some sense. Then we had Well, actually, Jesus Garcia says Andrade versus MJF feud when? I don't think anytime soon.
No, I do like just the implication of heels working together backstage, mm-hmm. Because they're both villains. Like if you watch old cartoons where like people who like we would normally not like each other, but we both have to team up to take on Batman, and there's like a handshake agreement. But if anything goes wrong, they're starting to start pointing fingers. I think there's a lot of fun things that can be done there.
I've been told that Max Caster did a diss rap on Top Dollar after the show. Can't wait. I love it. This stuff is so fun and harmless. I really love it. MJF cut a promo after this in the ring. He acted like he was coming out for the match. And instead, for the match with Darby, by the way. But instead, you get Sting coming out, which, you know, it's always good to see Sting. Sometimes I forget he's on the roster. That's okay. But MJF pushed Wardlow towards Sting. Sting hit him with a baseball bat, and MJF ran off. Like, this is really good. It is long-term building to Wardlow, MJF. And to me, the longer you can convincingly keep MJF away from the title, the better, because he is going to have a run, but he's lost fairly recently. He doesn't wrestle a lot to get himself in the title picture, which is clever, and he still contributes to the show. Daniel R. says, thoughts on Wardlow turning soon, and Brent Lockman says, as MJF and Wardlow run its course, MJF is perfect. I just want more from Wardlow at this point. That seems to be the discussion. Obviously, Sting is here to tide us over until the next Darby appearance. More than satisfactory. Sting rules. He's old. He's familiar. He's doing his thing. This is fine. But Wardlow is the guy kind of waiting in the wings, and this will be his defining moment, his defining feud, and what determines where he goes in AEW. If he sinks, well, then he's probably going to crush some people on Dark. If he swims, he could be an eventual TNT champion, maybe top guy there. How you feeling about this?
I think they're slow rolling it more than I thought they would. I thought that it was MJF's plan, that he knew Darby wasn't here, and if he said the wrong things about Darby too much, then Sting would come out. And once he had Sting out there, then Spears would attack Sting from behind, and Spears and Wardlow would basically break Sting. And that would be the thing that gets Darby to agree to the match. I thought that they were going to do that. Like, it was all part of MJF's master plan to get Sting to come out so they could attack Sting. This then now, maybe next week we get something like that with we have like a Sting versus MJF's choice or whatever. We could do that. But I really, really, really want Wardlow like breaking Sting to get Darby to agree to the match with MJF. It's right there, and it would help put over both Wardlow and whoever wins that Darby and MJF match. And we know, because it's AEW, whoever loses that Darby and MJF match is also going to be put over, because they figure out a way to make people look good in losses.
Yes, they do. And they don't do every match over and over again to where nobody gets over. Somebody gets over and somebody doesn't get over. Yeah. But nobody ends up like looking terrible, right, as a result. And I've had multiple super chats over the last couple of weeks that say, do you think we'll ever see another 2-year storyline like we are at a Hangman Page? Right here. We're seeing it right now. Wardlow and MJF. Because not long after this, MJF started to disrespect Wardlow. Mm-hmm. Like, we've seen those side eyes for a long time. Right. We've seen this for a very, very long time, and it's going to unfold probably around the new year. I'd say probably around the time of Revolution would make a lot of sense, but I can't wait to see how that one goes, because it's going to be one of those that is satisfying. Either it's going to be really satisfying and Wardlow will do really great, or it won't live up to expectations and Wardlow will have to overcome that, because MJF's doing his part so far. Sawyer says, speaking of commentary not being idiots, Shivani screaming about MJF is so great. Yes, Shivani does hate him.
I did appreciate, like last week when they were all wearing ski masks, and beat up Darby, but we all knew that's who it was.
Yes.
Why were they wearing skier masks? It was also MJF could have plausible deniability during this promo, which I thought was totally worth it. Totally
plausible worth deniability it. Goes a long way. Kari Fly says, MJF Darby and Tarzan or Jungle Boy pillar triple threat match. I mean, go for all four of them. Like, I think that now that that's been established that they are the four pillars, you got to do that match eventually. And AEW doesn't do a ton of matches like that. Mm. So the more that they do them, I think that adds a little bit. Moxley beat the brakes off of Wheeler Yuta. Now, when this happened, I thought, you know, this didn't need to happen to Wheeler Yuta. It could have been anybody else. But there was a reason, because there's almost always a reason in AEW.
Always a reason in AEW.
And that's what I love about it, Alex. So Wheeler Yuta got the friggin' brakes beat off of him. Welcome to the show, kid. One of those. And then Orange Cassidy like shoots a little bit of a look. Well, the reason for that, Alex, as we would find out later, the brackets for the AEW World Title Eliminator, Dustin Rhodes versus Bryan Danielson, Lance Archer versus Eddie Kingston on one side. Well, the other side is 10 versus Jon Moxley. And, buddy, Jon Moxley's winning that one. And then we got Powerhouse Hobbs versus Orange Cassidy. And Orange Cassidy is one of the most protected talents in AEW. So we are going to get Orange Cassidy, Jon Moxley, probably in this tournament as well. This was good stuff. It's a great way to just plant the seed, Alex.
I love that they mentioned the end of that the ladder match last week with Mox being the last one to lose, that he's not in a good mood. Like, he was up on that thing and he fell off the ladder. He's pissed now, and a switch has flipped, and now he's not screwing around anymore. Like, you booked me in a match with this. I wanted a promo because I just love his unhinged promos, but you didn't need it. Him coming down, I don't get paid by the hour. You book me in this stupid match for this kid who's named after wheels. Fine. And he destroys him and he walks away. He doesn't like, nobody raises his hand. He doesn't care. Do I get my winnings check, please? And he leaves. That's all he's there for. And Orange Cassidy with, because Orange Cassidy always takes his time, but he took his time walking. And Wheeler Yuta also sold having his brains beat in really well.
To the point where I had people in the venue saying Wheeler's hurt.
Yeah.
I had to be like, oh, they're playing it up on TV.
Yeah. I love the Moxley versus Orange Cassidy. They're slow playing it to the second round. The bracket itself has some really great stuff on the lower half of the bracket. The upper half of the bracket confounds me. I do not know why 10 of the Dark Order is in this tournament. I do not know why Dustin Rhodes is in this tournament. Why isn't Adam Cole in this tournament? Like, if this should be the best people you have all fighting each other for a shot at the title, I don't understand why 10 and Dustin Rhodes are in the tournament to have foregone conclusion losses. You have too many good talents in AEW. Like, when you say Moxley is obviously winning that match, AEW shouldn't be putting out tournaments where it looks like a bye for somebody.
Yes,
they shouldn't do that. They should have if Moxley wins this match, we all think he is, but if he wins this match, he would face Orange Cassidy if Orange Cassidy beats Will Hobbs. That's the kind of thing we should be able to talk about, as opposed to, well, obviously this guy's winning and obviously this guy's winning. We shouldn't be doing that. Those two guys specifically should not be in the bracket.
I agree. I think Powerhouse Hobbs is okay to put in the bracket.
Yeah, sure. No, he's fine in the bracket because I want to see Orange Cassidy versus Will Hobbs. That's going to be a great match.
And also, but yeah, I Archer and Kingston's interesting, but I look at that and I'm like, okay, Hobbs and Kingston would have made a lot of sense to me. Dustin Rhodes and Bryan Danielson, that'll be fun. We know Dustin Rhodes isn't winning that.
Right. And I want to see Brian Danielson versus either Lance Archer or Eddie Kingston. Yeah. And I don't know who they're gonna pick to face Brian Danielson.
And I want to see him. I want to see him face Dustin Rhodes. Honestly,
well, sure.
I'm excited to see that. Rob Wilkins says, I want MJF to choose either RoboCop or Shockmaster to be Sting's opponent if they go that route. Cliff Beard says, the Mox Yuta match and the reaction afterward from OC makes more sense now if they face each other in the second round. Comic Critical says, Mox is turning heel and I'm so here for it. Oh, a heel Moxley. That could be something.
Yeah, Moxley has been very... He's been treading down the dark path, and him versus Hangman, especially because they establish a history with him being knocked off the ladder by Hangman.
Yeah.
He gets knocked down that dark path by that moment. And then he comes for Hangman later. That's amazing. The other thing that people are mentioning in the chat here is very true. Like why isn't Black in the tournament? Like the kayfabe reason, why isn't he in the tournament? Pac should be in the tournament or Andrade. But how about Miro? Like, Miro should be in this tournament. He had an amazing...
The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. Support your healthy CoQ10 levels and blood pressure with 2 chews a day. Visit RadioBeats, BEETS.com, and save 15% with promo code DEAL.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Pre-tape promo where he was talking to his God who has forsaken him, and how he's like, if you do not help me, you are going to have me as an enemy. And he was swearing that he would become God's enemy if God did not make him a champion again. How you gave me a body made of granite and a neck made of sand. What is that? Like, I'm so in love with this guy. He needs to be in this tournament. There's no reason why he's not.
Well, Daniel R. says, maybe unreasonable was hoping more from the bracket. You're not unreasonable. I mean, not unreasonable. Wrestle Riot says, so Tony spoiled the whole tournament? I mean, not if you're not out there looking at pictures of his notebook on the internet, which, shocker, most people aren't. Most people aren't. Jay Blood says, so we are getting Mox Danielson in the finals. The brackets make this more obvious than Tony's notebook. Cool. I mean, complain about it.
Heel Moxley with absolutely zero fucks left to give, wanting to put Danielson in the ground for real as a shoot versus the Danielson we saw tonight and the Danielson we saw last night. Like, you can sign me up for 10 of those. Like,
you know what I like? There are so many matches in AEW that have been done many times in WWE. But it's not the same match. No. And if you want a good example, look at the trash fire that was Tay Conti and Santana Garrett in NXT, and look how it is now. Look how it is now when you play to these two women's strengths instead of the cookie cutter stuff that you want to get in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, Ambrose versus Daniel Bryan is in no way, shape, or form. Moxley versus Danielson.
I'm not taking anything away from Ambrose and Brian or Daniel Bryan. That was good too.
Sure. But
yeah. Chris Rain says that Miro promo was so amazing. I feel like, and Cornman 316 says, I feel like Miro is the one to eventually take the title off Hangman, which is probably why he isn't featured in the tournament. I wouldn't doubt it, but I think that sort of Miro may have worked himself into a shoot. I've said this before. He's so good at those 30-second minute promos that they rely on that for him.
Yeah, and they could have easily put something in the promo about I'm going home to my wife now, but I will be back. Like something like that. And then when he comes back, like that's where he went. But this is like, he's like, I can't go home to her, he said in the promo.
Got some more super chats. Kari Fly says, heel Moxley versus Hangman for the title. Banger. Jay Blood says, loved Mox wrecking Yuta. It was treated seriously. A company that doesn't let enough moments breathe did by showing Cassidy see that what Mox did. They are getting better at that. And fortunately, they're getting better at that. It's just that it's something they had to work on, and it seems like they finally are. And good. And I had somebody say, "Oh no, Brian versus Ambrose wasn't good." Well, not the like seven times they did a DQ, because I covered it. I remember on like SmackDown they did a DQ, and then I was at a live event where they did a DQ. But they had a match on Raw, I feel like, in 2013 that I thought was pretty damn good. They had two of them, because, you know, it's WWE. They got to do at least two of them that I thought were pretty damn good. What else we got here? Kari Fly says, Suzuki versus Brian versus heel Mox. Want to see a dead body?
If you run that match, you're going to see two dead bodies, because only one of them's coming out of that match alive.
Well, if you don't want your penis to look like a dead body, use Manscaped. Use the code FIGHTFUL. Their fourth generation performance package absolutely changed the grooming game with their refined body wash to round out your hygiene routine. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for their shower time routine by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code FIGHTFUL. Have you smelled that beautiful body wash? Well, you know what? Alex is going to, because they're going to send him some of it very soon. Myself too. So we will report back. But I've been told it's fantastic. You and your boys will be oh so fresh and clean when you start off your self-care routine with the ultimate body wash. And you know what? You're not going to look like your wiener's been through an exploding barbed wire death match. Actually, it might look like it was through AEW's. Safe. No explosions, nothing like that, because of their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, their Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, their Crop Preserver ball deodorant, the Crop Reviver toner, the Performance Boxer briefs, the travel bag to hold your goodies. That trimmer is badass. It's got the skin-safe technology, so you don't bust open your ball sack. It's got a 7,000 RPM motor, multifunction on-off switch, travel lock, and a 4,000K LED spotlight. You know the drill. They got that 9,000 RPM motor with the weed whacker. You don't want nose hairs, ears hair, all that crap. And they got those great liquid formulations too, plus the body wash. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FIGHTFUL at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code FIGHTFUL at Manscaped. Hit them up at Manscaped on Twitter. Let them know you heard about them from us. Do we even have the thing? Yeah, there we go. Look at that. Manscaped.com, code FIGHTFUL. I should have thrown that up there earlier. It is actually a condition in my new contract. I'm sorry, Jimmy. But there we are. Stuplexer says, love tonight's show, but how do you not have Pac, Andrade, Block, Black Miro in the Eliminator tournament? I need you guys to, I get you need guys in there to lose, but you also need some real world title challengers. Every one of these guys should be pissed off they're not in it.
Mm-hmm.
That should be a story crutch, Alex.
Yeah, and I would personally want to know the qualifications for being in said tournament.
Yes.
How was the tournament chosen? Like, these bracketologists who's on the selection committee who picks, like, did Dustin Rhodes win one of those crazy, like, lower conferences? Like, he was like 9-22 during the regular season, but put together three or four consecutive victories in the conference tournament, and he's got to get in, I guess.
Just tell me some of it was a random draw, for the love of God. Like, if that's what you got to do, it's better than not explaining it at all. Bam says, what if Mox wins the tournament in the main event of Full Gear? He attacks Hangman because he needs to be the one to beat Kenny for the 1 year. You can't avoid the slam dunk of Hangman Page. And let's talk about the slam dunk of Hangman Page. Daniel R says, I critique a lot, but Page's promo was near perfect. Jay Blood says, my God, Hangman Page, cowboy shit mission statement was so human and so him. Great to save the venom for Kenny and the face-to-face to come. it helps when your audience wants everything that's out there to succeed, but it helps when you're, when you can actually cut babyface promos. And there, everybody knew why he was gone. Tony Khan told me on the record. I mean, it was rumored he was gone to for the birth of his child, but there's a certain level of charm, Alex, applied, because over the last few years, especially in WWE, we've seen a lot more family-based storylines. Like, everything Goldberg does is about his damn family. Everything. And for some people, they can relate to that. But everybody knew what Hangman Page gave up in order to be at home with his child. Yeah. They knew what he passed on. He passed on the biggest moment maybe in AEW history, because we didn't know about Brian. We didn't know about Cole. And at the time, Punk hadn't debuted yet. He passed on that, and he said, I got to be home with my kid. I got to be home with my wife. And there is a remarkable amount of charm to that. That is a babyface move if I've ever seen it. And he said as much. He's like, cowboy shit is taking some time off, being with your kid. God, this was good. This was such a great babyface promo.
It was near perfect. I think Hangman has kind of been able to, the luxury of being able to rest on his laurels of being just super over with the crowd, and whatever he does, they're going to eat up. And B, he played that character of the lovable drunk so well for so many months. And this was the first time I really thought that I was watching Adam and not Hangman. And it was really cool to watch that whole thing where he, like, what a wonderful story he built from the beginning. I'm going to beat Jericho. I'm going to be the first champion. And I failed at that. And you could tell, like, he was remembering, feeling the failure in that moment. And, like, the whole promo, like, all the stories, like, talking about how that moment where he said, I put not only my title shot on the line, but the title shot of all my friends, the people who had my back when nobody else did, I put their title shot on the line, and I failed them as much as I failed myself. Like, all these chapters of his story he told in this promo without being way too obvious about it. And then he gets to the end. He says, now you all believe in me, and I believe in myself for the first time too. Like, and how just down to earth and real it felt. Like, it was honestly, it was really profound. Like, cause I felt like I've been watching Hangman for a year, and I love Hangman. And he was Adam talking about cowboy shit and what that means to him. Not Hangman's cowboy shit, but Adam's cowboy shit. Like, that feels real to me. And I love how they've perfectly handled this character through this entire time, and they're going to pay it off in the only way they can, perfectly. It just, so good.
Chris says, the part about going home for his kid's birth is what really got me. Tops it off with, you still believe in me. Wonderful. It was such a perfect, perfect babyface promo. And quite frankly, an era where it ain't easy to cut babyface promos. Sawyer says, for a second, I thought the crowd wasn't into Paige's promo because there were some awkward silences. Then I realized it was reverence. They wanted to listen.
That's right.
We wanted to hear from him. We wanted to know what the man had to say. Not only that, we had to wait like an extra 3 or 4 days this time after he came back to find out what he was going to say. And it was so good. It was so good. Volob says, just want to say Hangman is still not confident enough to say he'll be champion. I want him to have a little bit of that doubt. And then like in the week ahead or so, I want him to be like, no, I can do this shit. And then we got Dark Order backstage, and they're mentioning this too. They lead into their match with the Super Click. It, to me, it's got to end with them hoisting up Hangman Page, them helping him, just keeping the Elite away, and them hoisting him up at the show named after him.
Yes.
Jesus, man. Like, we see it coming from a mile away, and I just know it's still going to be good. And Doug Kahn says, is Hangman the one who kicks out of the One-Winged Angel? He's got to be. To me, I don't, to me, here's why you protect a move so long.
Yes.
That way, when somebody finally kicks out of it, it's a big deal. Now, that being said, if somebody kicks out of the end of days next week on SmackDown, I'm going to go, that's stupid. You build to it.
You build to it.
Everybody who watches Baron Corbin on SmackDown knows nobody's kicked out of that finish.
Mm-hmm.
So when he gets a big push,
yeah,
and eventually somebody who may be perceived as less than him by a little bit,
yeah,
they're brought up to that level. This brings Hangman up to the level and then beyond it, I think.
I will tell you this. If Hangman doesn't kick out of the One-Winged Angel, nobody should.
Yeah.
Like ever. Like it basically, like Kenny doesn't hit it. Either Kenny hits it and it gets kicked out of, or Kenny hits it and gets a foot on the ropes, or he never hits it.
Or hear me out. Bray Wyatt debuts as the Fiend, gets hit with five of them, and gets pinned, and then he sits up.
Yeah, you're right. That's a really good idea. I think we should do that.
Hangman's story is why AEW's fans have faith in them. Absolutely.
It's true.
Absolutely. They are developing goodwill by paying this off. So the Anna Jay Britt Baker match, we already read that super chat to Luis, but we've got a bunch of super chats about the bracket still. Cliff Beard says Suzuki should have been the world title eliminator against OC, since they couldn't have that match last year at the show with Janela was going to put on. Well, I think out of respect to Janela, they should probably save that for Janela's show.
Yeah,
that was a big match that was supposed to be announced for him. And yeah, Curry Fly says Arn got the Glock out to get Dustin in the tourney. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about this Cody segment. Oh, Jesus Christ. Arn's going full AWA 1970s training, like where you got Billy Robinson and Vern Gagne making people run like 600 miles before they do their 500 Hindu squats, before they do Iron Man stuff. Oh, and then he's cutting a promo at him. He's like, Malachi Black deserves what he's going to get. This is very old school, like, but modern sort of, like Red Velvet being like, Cody, you're a bitch. Like, I dig this. This is good stuff to me.
I liked him showing him the photo of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes,
yes,
and Arn Anderson saying, do you think any of the kids in the audience that night were upset because I got 30 stitches in my head? No, because I had it coming. I never thought I'd say that, but I had it coming that night. And Malachi Black has it coming too.
Oh,
I'm interested in this only so far as Cody still gets his ass kicked next week.
Yeah.
Because you've built up, like, tonight's match, Malachi versus Dante, showed we have a whole story to tell of Malachi outside of the realm of this thing he's been involved in since he got here. I wasn't on the show. We didn't talk about it, but there was a Rampage promo that he cut after he beat Cody the last time, where he said, Nightmare Family, I've grown tired of you. I'm done with you. Like, he said, I've grown weary of you all, yeah, and I'm moving on. And I thought, that's the best thing I've ever seen, because I hate feuds that go on forever. He proved what he needed to prove. This match next week doesn't prove anything, because even if Cody beats him, well, Malachi beat him two times before that. So Malachi should beat Cody anyway, and that should send Cody way off the rails. This promo, this segment was fine and everything, but you do not sacrifice what you have built with Malachi just to get Cody a vanity win. You can't do that. He's got to lose next week, or it doesn't. To me, I'm out on it.
Guys, a reminder, FightfulMag.com. Check out the newest edition of Fightful Magazine. CM Punk is the cover story. Stories on John Cena, Thunder Rosa, The Thunderdome, Fire Pro Wrestling, Brian Lee. Check it out at FightfulMag.com. We had 813 Car Guy saying, I thought the bracket was going to be a wild one when they ended the show with it. I missed the day of wrestling shows ending in absolute chaos. I think we're going to see a couple in the coming days. I think, or in the coming weeks. Zach Schimmel says, can we get Paige and Cole before full gear? I think Cole losing to Paige can help build this, or is that something we save for later? Oh, that's something we save for later.
Got to save that. They've got too much history for it to be like a thing building to a Kenny match. It's got to be its own deal where like Cole and Hangman have too much history. They got to build that. I agree. I think Miro is the one to eventually take it off of Hangman. But there's nothing to say you can't run a cool heel Moxley versus Hangman and Hangman versus Cole as old friends reunited, because Cole wasn't here for the rest of the Elite betraying Hangman. He wasn't part of that. So like there's a story they can tell between those two guys that is separate from the rest of the whole Elite drama. I love it.
Yeah, Hangman and Adam Cole teamed together several times. They had several matches together. They've got plenty of history. I mean, they were Bullet Club members together. I'm excited to see what they pull out for that as well. Clipbeard says, I have no problem with them doing a third match and even Cody winning it. If it was done from like 8 months from now, let the story sleep for a bit. I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. Malachi Black should be like, you don't deserve a match with me. I know you twice. R. Dickinson says, this episode was so uniquely AEW early 2020 vibes. Yes, it was. It was. I mean, they did the back-to-back nights here. I mean, they'll have three shows in the same town effectively with Rampage. And I'm sure they filmed some dark stuff as well. Get your super chats in, guys, by the way. We've got a few more segments left, but also leave a thumbs up if you are watching on youtube.com/Fightful. Kiera Hogan versus Penelope Ford. Penelope Ford got the win. There was a very comical moment where CM Punk goes a little on the nose, but is Kiera related? And then Excalibur goes, oh, to the golfer Ben Hogan? No.
I love that he said, apologies if this has been asked before.
Yes.
But is Kiera Hogan related to? No, I thought it was amazing.
Yeah. Penelope picks up the win. They're trying to keep Penelope relevant while also being like, well, you know the path because Tay Conchi's done it and Anna Jay's done it. You face one, you face the other, then you face both. And that's what Ruby's going through right now. Mm-hmm. And as I said last night, Tony Khan was on a media call saying, well, I brought in 2.0 because that can't always be the wingmen. Well, now it's never the wingmen. The wingmen are never in that spot. And it's always 2.0. And now it already seems like it's always going to be Penelope and the Bunny.
Yeah, they've got a whole host of women on that roster that are languishing, I think, over on Dark and Elevation. I love Swole. I love Diamante. I feel like those two need to be on Dynamite, like at least occasionally. I mean, they're great. Like we can put them on Rampage, do something with them. They're both amazing. They should be doing that. Like Swole's got a victory over Britt Baker under her belt. Build a story to that. Like build a story about how I beat you before. Barely I'll beat you again, and I'm gonna take that title from you when I do. There's no reason that you have to keep recycling the same five or six women. Like leave that to the other guys.
Completely agree. Completely agree. John Catanzaro says, Bray shows up and teaches Cody to be evil in a Firefly Funhouse match. I don't know how well that works. I don't like the lore. I want to keep the lore away from AEW. I think that Bray Wyatt is very talented, but the lore can be somewhere else.
Right. Listen, I think A, they were joking, and B, I would love to see, just for the shits and giggles, of Bray Wyatt taking Cody Rhodes through his whole career
and
staying a little too long in the Stardust realm. Like, yes. So we're going to do more Stardust stuff because I know you love it.
Oh, I think it'd be very entertaining. It's just also a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Once you get started. Yeah,
that is true.
Kari Fly says, Mob Boss Arn telling Cody he has no balls weekly. Well, Lucha Express had an interview backstage and they made fun of the powerbomb, which I loved. I loved, or it was the Jurassic Express. Thank you to our moderator for putting Lucha Express in there. But Jurassic Express had a, they made fun of the powerbomb, which I liked. And then they got attacked backstage.
And they did the powerbomb right this time. Like that's like, here's, there's two ways of handling that botch on Dynamite last week or whenever it was. One is you do tonight where you actually come back and prove that you can do the move right. You do it on the guy, the big guy, put him through a table backstage. The other way is you do the beginning of BTE, which is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. So either way works. They did both. Perfect.
Well, then we went to Super Click Dark Order. At one point, Uno used Socko.
Oh, it was they lost one of the I forget which one of Jackson's lost his shoe, and then he lost his sock, and Uno's like, why not? And he just puts it on. It's just so great where he considered not doing it, and they said, you know what, screw it, YOLO, let's get this thing done, and it was beautiful.
Great match. I loved the spot where the Young Bucks are supposed to kiss Adam Cole on the cheek, but instead it's Reynolds and Silver.
Cole is such a fantastic comedic actor.
Yes, he is.
Like that moment where he's being kissed and he's doing the thing where he smiles big or whatever. But then there's a moment where he's like, something's wrong here. And it felt like he was doing like, well, that's not Matt and Nick's aftershave. Who is this? Ah! Like, it was just this wonderful, like, there had to be a moment where he's like, hey, it feels like I'm being kissed by two different men.
He almost turned into a kiss on the lips from John Silver, too. He almost got Bugs Bunny Elmer Fudded right there.
Oh, boy.
Cliff Beard says, Bucks and Omega doing the shield bomb was great. Also, I got to say, John Silver with some big boy kicks. Turning his hips, pivoting, thud. Those are real good kicks. Real, real good kicks. There were times I thought the Dark Order was going to manage to pull it off, but this was such a good, fast-paced match. Kari Fly says, his name is Tarzan, Sean. Look at him. He's Tarzan, not Jungle Boy. Tarzan Boy is the song, but we'll still rock with Jungle Boy. Apex Caliber says, the Fiend leads the Dark Order to screw Paige. Oh, God, that sounds horrible. That sounds horrible. Please, no. Please, no. Joey Bag of Donuts says, Super Click Dark Order was just so damn fun. Super Click staying strong. Right move in my opinion.
And Adam Cole getting pinfall victories in six mans, in tag matches, whatever. Just keep him looking strong, being great. He's super over. And you can save his first loss in AEW for somebody really special. Honestly, the three people, there may be four people I think should beat Cole for his first time. Danielson, Paige, Punk, or Omega. Those are the only four I see that should beat Cole.
We've got Pedro saying that promo by Miro was amazing, asking God why he's ignoring him. Great stuff. Also, what does Tony D'Angelo think of Miro's promo?
Listen, I mean, I was raised Catholic myself, so far be it from me to try and anger a vengeful God. You know what I'm saying? I got enough guilt as it is over here. But you, big man, you do whatever you feel like, because I can't knock you, man. You got a really hot wife.
Hey, we talked about how Malachi plays into the old like storylines and retcons him. Miro did too. Yeah. You see what happened to me when my wife came to work with me type of thing.
Yeah.
And then playing it up. Oh, love it. Love that stuff. He's so good at that too. Get in your super chats, guys. We are heading down the home stretch. Sawyer says, in BTE canon, Cole still likes Hangman, and they've yet to cross paths in AEW. So much potential for so many places to go. That they're very smart about this. They're very cognizant about this. They keep them away from each other. Cole hasn't crossed paths with Bobby Fish yet either. Like, there are a whole lot of people that you don't know if Cole's going to get along with them or not. I mean, you know that he's not getting along with Dark Order because they keep making him terrible pitches on BTE. But, oh, God. How does Pete Dunne feel about Danielson? By the way, Pete Dunne, who we broke the news on Fightful Select, both that his contract was coming up and that he signed a new contract. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com.
I don't care. I'm out Pete Dunne. I don't care. But someday I would like to fight Bryan Danielson and break his fingers. But I don't care. I'm Pete Dunne. I don't care.
Well, the main event, Bryan Danielson, Bobby Fish. Let me tell you, as a catch wrestling nerd and an MMA nerd, seeing Bryan Danielson work over the knee and then go to a heel hook, which destroys your knee, by the way, is so good. Now, I love this for many reasons. I dropped an interview with EC3 a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you guys remember, but when EC3 is Derek Bateman and Bryan Danielson were the best thing on like NXT TV like a decade ago, Bryan Danielson was teaching him a submission. He was teaching him how to do a heel hook that he uses now. And when EC3 tried to do it to him and was getting ridiculous and going, submission, submission, he kicked him in the head. Well, this summer, EC3 was in one of those holds and kicked his opponent in the head, just as Bryan Danielson did to him. Now we're seeing Bryan Danielson use it like often. We're seeing him use cattle mutilation often. This match was so good. Oh, Brent Lockman. We'll never tire of hearing Red Dragon's theme. So cool they managed to get that for Fish. If you would have asked me a week ago, what's Red Dragon's theme? I would have been like, I don't know. I can't remember. But then when that music hits, I'm like, oh yeah, I do remember it. I think that's a great touch to add to make me give a shit about Bobby Fish.
Yeah, and it just makes me long for whatever day it is that O'Reilly's contract is up, so he can stop
to find out.
So he can stop teaming with Von Wagner and start teaming with Bobby Fish again, because that would be amazing.
Wagner. Oh boy. Well, this match was awesome. We knew it was going to be awesome. This is the style that we've wanted to watch Bryan Danielson work for a very, very long time. Option Zero says September is too late, or September is late to start building a resume, but with AEW schedule and roster, can Danielson get into the Wrestler of the Year mix? Possibly. I mean, I would have to take a look at like how everything has panned out so far. I'd have to take a, it's hard to put me on the spot for that one, but I think it's possible. But he missed like half a year. Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty tough. Oscar says, just some coin hoping the tall dong lord closes the show with Alex saying, keep cool, gabagool. You should spell that G-H-O-U-L because it's, you know, Halloween.
Halloween, yeah.
Halloween. Kari Fly says, Mirror's returning with Lana, calling it now. I could think of worse things. It seems like she manages to get over all the time. And apparently she owns the name.
Yeah.
She says she owns the name, which we have seen quite a bit of, Alex, it, to some degree. Because, for example, I mean, you remember like 10, 15 years ago, if you left WWE, you weren't using any of the name.
No.
But now Steve Cutler, whose real name is Tommy Macklin, is going by Steve Macklin because Steve's a common name. Ruby Riott is Ruby Soho. Ruby is a common name. Like, we're seeing that all the time now. So good. Good for her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Brian says, which of the tag teams could you see doing a Rockers breakup and being the face to go on a big run? Well, it has to be a babyface team, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, the Rockers breakup featured the heel going on the big run afterwards.
Yes. Well, I mean, yeah, but it's got to be a face team.
Yeah, face team, yeah. Gosh.
The Acclaimed? If they, because, I mean, they're like borderline.
Yeah.
I think they could do it, like Max Caster or Bowens doing. I think Bowens is capable of incredible things. When I say these teams, I definitely don't mean that somebody's going to be a Jannetty. Which I think could be a lot worse. I think Jannetty was one of the best wrestlers in the world at one point.
I mean, I really think they could do something excellent with Darius Martin comes back.
Yeah.
And run a really cool thing about them getting back together, but Darius never quite trusting that Dante has his back enough. And Darius always thinking that Dante wants to go out and be a single star. And Dante being like, no, man, I'm here for you. We're brothers. We're going to make this work. And Darius's paranoia gets the better of him. Like, I think there's a really cool story to tell there.
Luchasaurus could be one. Varsity Blondes could be one.
Ooh, I could see that.
Hard for me to believe that, you know, they'll be together forever because they both look like, I mean, and if a team reminds you of the Rockers, it's probably the Varsity Blondes.
Yeah.
So I like that as well. There isn't a lot to add to the Danielson Fish match. It was a great, technically sound match with great selling. We knew who was going to win.
Right. It was great. Both of them getting their legs worked over the whole time. And that moment where they were both in the base, the knee bar or whatever, dueling knee bars. And then Danielson, you know what? Screw this. I'm just going to win the match now. And just rolls over into that horrible looking heel hook. Like, it just looked like it was killing Fish. Good, you know, big ups to him for selling the way he did. But like the way that Punk put it over in the moment, like, that thing is going to tear your knee entirely apart.
It will. It absolutely will. They're banned from a lot of like lower experience classes in grappling tournaments because, quite frankly, most of these people got to go to work on Monday. There are gyms all around the world where you do not, quite frankly, you don't do any leg locks, but you especially don't do heel hooks because they're so dangerous to do for people who don't know how much pressure can really shred your knee up. It can be a very, very dangerous move. Zero Fear says, did you see Fish kick a fan away from the rail? I didn't.
Yeah, it was during the picture-in-picture. There was a fan who was getting a little too close to the action by the rail, and Fish threw Danielson into the ground and then walked over and, like, kicked the fan away from it, kind of. It was good stuff.
Daniel R. says, will AEW do big entrance props like Miro in the Tank? Well, I mean, they had the horse, and that's pretty big.
That's big enough. I don't know. They've been teasing wanting to do, like, bigger, like a baseball field or something where there's like enough room that you could bring something out. Yeah, that could be a lot of fun.
And Cliff Beard wraps us up by saying, what does Walter think of American Top Team?
There we go.
Make sure you clear your throat there.
Yeah, American Top Team. I don't like them very much because I, Walter, am representing the great state of Austria, the great country of the great nation of Austria. The mat is sacred, and these people are not very sacred to me. I don't like them at all. But it is Dan Lambert who flaps his mouth all the time. I do not like him at all. Not at all.
That's our AEW review. Obviously, there's no AEW review next Wednesday, but you know what? Monday, Raw. Tuesday, NXT Marathon Show. Wednesday, Jimmy's supposed to come back for Listen, You Boy. Thursday, The Distraction, which you can now check out at youtube.com/FightfulDistraction for all their additional stuff. We've given these nut jobs their own channel. And then Friday, Rampage and SmackDown. I'll be joined by TK Trinidad as Kate is on vacation. But next week, I'm dropping like 4 interviews next week. You guys are going to love it. Marina Shafir, Tom Lawler among them, Juice Robinson as well. Next Saturday, the plan is to do an AEW review immediately following that show. Bound for Glory is also that night, but it starts at 10 p.m. Eastern. So after that, we will have a Bound for Glory review. In addition to that, that afternoon at noon, you got the Grapsody podcast. So there is plenty of stuff. We have shows every single day on the main Fightful feed and over on Fightful Select. Monday, we've got the Backstage Report podcast. That is like 20 minutes of me just giving you exclusive news. Tuesday, Alex does a Sour Graps review of Raw. Wednesday is The List Goes On. It's the List and Your Boy post show. Thursday, I do a Q&A show, usually about a half an hour. You all can ask me whatever you want. Friday, we have the Figure Hall show. Saturday, we have Alex's Sour Graps review of SmackDown. And then Sunday is The Weekender. If you ever hit us up and say, why don't you cover 205 Live, Impact, ROH, NWA, etc.? Steven Jensen does on The Weekender. Silva says, the post show runs a bit long. That it does, but you know what? People send us money for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, you know, I'm just saying, I can manage to edit it a little late at night if you guys keep sending money, which we greatly appreciate.
Yeah.
We are the PBS of wrestling, if you would believe such a thing. We are funded by you. But Alex, I think I told the people where to find you, but you can tell them again.
Yeah, well, you can find me on the Twitter at Alex Sour Graps. Yeah, I do I think I've settled into late night Monday after the Raw post show with Sean and Denise is when I will be doing the post Raw show. It'll be up when you wake up in the morning on Tuesday. Then I'm going to be doing hopefully Saturdays during the day. I'll be doing the post SmackDown Sour Graps. Then, of course, there's Tuesday nights with Kate Hensler, or as I call her, Hot Heat Hensler, the new Triple H, as she and I will talk for literally 3 hours about a two-hour NXT show we both didn't like very much. We'll talk mostly about other things, and also I'm a jukebox for your impressions, as you've seen tonight, and people like to pay us money for me to do those things, so we let them for as long as they continue to do so.
Thank you guys so much. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Please check out our interviews and share those. They don't get as much traction as our podcasts, but the more you all share them, the more you all leave a thumbs up on them, the more we'll get them. Thank you all so much. Until next time, guys, we're out.
Keep cool, Gabagool.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.